If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to finish up talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We've talked about the building materials. We've talked about specifically the intent of the Lord in the building process, what it is He desires. And one of the things that we need to kind of, if you will, keep in mind is that through this process, the Lord has made it very clear that He is going to try what is built. And you know, this is an important principle, because one of the things that I know is when you're having a home built, you always want to have it inspected. And like I've said, I've seen some things looking about, you know, talking about building and so on and so forth. And when you do that, obviously the little bots and everything that observes what you search for starts feeding stuff into your, you know, algorithms and so on and so forth. And I started getting a bunch of these reels and videos and shorts about these inspectors going and taking a look at these new properties, brand new properties, some of them close to $1 million. And just the sloppy nature of the workmanship, it was just atrocious. I mean, you know, joists that weren't even nailed, huge gaps in the wall where you can almost see clear through it, you know, things where there was like an electrical outlet that even though all the breakers were turned off and the whole main panel was turned off, you could still, you were getting electricity through it somehow. I mean, just scary stuff. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, the Lord going to try our work. There will be, if you will, that inspection that's there. But one thing that I know about the process of inspections is that along the way, there are supposed to be smaller inspections to see what is contained on the inside, what the building materials are, how things are being put together, what the framing looks like, what the plumbing looks like, what the wiring looks like. And those little inspections and permits, if you will, to continue in the process are necessary so that that dwelling place is actually being capable of being dwelled in. And when we think about, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and here we are building this temple all together. We need to understand that what we are doing needs to be inspected. It needs to be tested. It needs to be looked at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 9, it says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So when we think about that in context of 1 Corinthians 3, and we've read this passage before, it becomes pretty evident that God is concerned with how things are going to be built. What is the process? What is the material? How is it that we are putting in our efforts? And we know that we are supposed to be putting in our best efforts as unto the Lord for whatever it is that we do. I think sometimes there is this misunderstanding that God is going to go easy on us at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't believe that that is true when I start looking at Scripture. Now, I don't think, you know, obviously we're not going to be subject to wrath, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. You know, we're not going through the tribulation period, praise the Lord. But I will say this, that the Lord is going to test some things, and there's going to be a lot of questions, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of embarrassing moments. When we think about it and we start examining ourselves, I'm pretty certain that all of us can say at some point in time, we did something with the wrong motive. We did it with the wrong motive. We did it with the wrong heart. We did it with the wrong attitude, if you will. We failed to do it the way God wanted it done. Whether it was done belligerently, maliciously, for our own glory or pleasure or whatever it may be. The end result is there are going to be some things that have to be purged out. And when we think about that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's a reason why the Lord is going to use fire to do that. Fire is very much a cleansing agent. It can break things down to bare minerals and bare components and separate and get rid of things that don't, or that are not of value, and get down to the root of what really truly was the building material that we used. And we're going to take a look at that, Lord willing, tonight. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time that we have this evening. Lord, I thank you for the fact there has been no inclement weather preventing us from meeting here this evening and worshiping you and learning from you. And I do pray, Lord, that you just continue to teach us this evening as we study this final part, the fire, that we would study it with the intent, Lord, to know more about you and your will for our lives, to realize that there needs to be self-examination, there needs to be some things in our life, Lord, where we try those things that we are doing for the purpose of examining whether it glorifies you, whether it is for your praise and glory, whether it is for what you have done for us, and whether it is for others. And Lord, I just pray that we would have that understanding this evening as we finish this series. Again, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us, and I pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Going back over to 1 Corinthians 3, and in 1 Corinthians 3, we do have the passage that we've been referring to. And in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And then he says that very specific passage where it says, "Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." There is a way that we are to go about building this temple. There's a way that God has instructed us, and it's found right here with these materials. And again, he says it's going to be under that inspection. It's going to be under that, if you will, microscope, looking for the things that are going to last and things that aren't. Again, we've recently seen what fire can do when we start taking a look down at the California and the fires that raged through those cities, even years previous to that, when the whole city of Paradise was lost due to fire. It was amazing to see what was left over afterwards. There were certain buildings and structures that stood, and there were certain ones that didn't. There were certain things that were left behind by the fire, and there was much that was consumed by it. So when we start talking about this fire, it's very specific in its purpose, because the fire is going to do these things here, these four things. First and foremost, it's going to make things manifest. In verse 13, it's going to make things manifest. And what I mean by that is it's going to show and reveal. In this day and age, people are very good at being deceitful and covering things up. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, there is no cover up. There is no way to spin it. There is no way to take and try to brush it under the rug or whatever it may be. That's not the case. When something is manifest, it is specifically displayed for all to see. It is something that is a very specifically showing what is inside or what is there. When you have something that is a package that comes, and maybe it's from overseas, it's going to have a manifest saying what is inside of it. You can't see inside that box, but you can definitely read the manifest and see all those things that are there. And what we know about manifests is it does declare things. And that's the next thing that we see. It says, for the day shall declare it. It's not gonna, again, it's not something that's just going to be casually taken and swept aside and say, oh, okay, yeah, don't worry about that. It's gonna say, this is where you went wrong. This is where I made the wrong choice. This is where I made the decision to do X when I should have chosen something better. There's so many things. It's going to be declared. Because at the end of it, you're going to have all the things that are taken out of the fire that remain, and you're going to look at that, and you're going to see exactly what it is, and everyone else is going to be able to see it too. And that, again, is a bit of a terrifying thought. But again, I will tell you this, the intent is not so that we do things so that we don't look bad at the judgment seat of Christ. That's a wrong attitude. That's the wood, hay, and stubble stuff. And I've had people say, well, I'm going to work for rewards. I'm going to work for rewards. I'm like, you go ahead and work for rewards. I'm going to work for Jesus. That's what we have to do. That's the mentality that we have to, again, with the transformed mind, start thinking like. Even if I get to heaven and I have no rewards of any type, any way, shape, or form, I got forgiveness of sins. I got eternal life. You know, there's people that are running around, and I've heard some of I'll be nice. people that say certain things about, people are going to be running around, ashamed, naked for 1,000 years in heaven because of, what they did at the judgment seat of Christ and what was burned. And I'm sitting there going, which book are you reading? Because I don't find that in there at all. You know, they take something totally out of context and try to apply it again to what's happening here. And I that's just not the case. But I think there will be some things that are shown. I think there will be some individuals that will really truly realize exactly what they did and why they did it. And there's no cover up to it. Because again, it's going to be shown. It's going to be made manifest. It's going to be declared. Everybody's going to be able to hear and see exactly what it was, what it is. Because what is this fire supposed to do? It says, it shall be revealed by fire. Fire is going to reveal that. Fire is going to make things manifest. Fire is going to declare it. Because what's going to happen is it's going to put the heat where it needs to be to see exactly what that component is. And if that component doesn't match the gold, silver, and precious stones, it is, as we've seen, with wood, hay, and stubble, burn. Now, some might take a little bit longer to burn. And as we talked about last week, the stubble burn really quick. I will say this, when we take a look at this right here in Scripture, it is very, very, very evident that that is the purpose of the fire here. It is to reveal something. And when God reveals something, it is very much exposed. There's a whole book that talks about revealing. It's called Revelation. And it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm one of those people that every now and then somebody will say something about the book of Revelations, and I'm like, it's not Revelations. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Because the idea behind it is it reveals exactly who he is to the world. To everyone. There's no excuse at that point in time. When he's ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, there isn't going to be anybody that's going to say, who? Jesus, who? They're all going to know. They're all going to know. And that is something that when we start thinking about, that's kind of along the same lines of what this revelation is going to be by this fire. It's going to show, and Everyone's going to know. God already knows. It's going to be revealed to us. Because one of the things that is very, very common with human beings today is we are and can be very deceitful. Jeremiah talks about that. The problem is we deceive ourselves. We tell lies to ourselves and then we believe it. And it's like, when you think about that, that's one of the most dull things that exists out there. It's like, really? What? But we do. And I think there's a lot of people that have done things for the Lord that they need to have that revealed. Specifically, what sort it is. Is it going to be the good sort or is it going to be the bad sort? We truly have to realize that this revelation is beneficial to us. It is part of, if you will, that corrective action. Now, I understand we're standing in front of Jesus Christ. We're perfect at that point in time and praise the Lord for that. But I do believe that there does need to be the follow-up with that. When somebody does something wrong, there needs to be the follow-up of saying, hey, here's where you went wrong. Here, let me show you the impact of what happened. And it's a necessary process. We find it all throughout Scripture. Not only do we see the revelation here, we also see that this fire, its intent, is it says, shall try every man's work. Shall try every man's work. And this is where, you know, again, we realize things need to be tested and things need to be tried. Things need to be examined about whether or not it works. If you've ever had to do anything called quality control in a job, you understand that that quality control process is one that is very microscopic. You're looking at every single thing to make sure that what goes out the door meets the specifications of what the standard is. And this fire, if you will, is something that is going to try and it's going to see what's there. Now, the interesting thing with the gold and the silver is the more fire and heat you put to it, the more pure it becomes. The more it gets rid of the impurities. Because many times when you have something that is gold, there's still going to be some things that are included in it that shouldn't be there. And we have to realize that when this stuff is being, well, tried, it's going to reveal exactly what's inside. It's going to make it manifest. It's going to declare it. And again, this is where I go back to where we started talking about at the very beginning of the study, those idols that were in the Old Testament that were wood inside, but the outside was covered with gold or silver. And what happens is in the hot enough heat, it burns off that gold, it melts, and it shows exactly what's on the inside. And I do believe this, and I know this very well, because, you know, Joseph even talks about it, and he says, what was intended to be bad, God used for good, and God uses everything for His glory, and praise the Lord for that. And I do believe that the things that sometimes we try to do for the Lord, but are really secretly for ourselves, He does get the glory in that, and that is that, well, that gold that comes off, or that silver that comes off. And the end result is what the majority of it was wood, and it just sits there and burns. But the Lord still gets some glory out of it, praise Him. And when we think about that, it becomes very important for us to understand that this is what fire does. This is the intent behind it. And again, there's going to be some loss that is suffered. There's going to be things that are, you know, that you look at and it's like, wow, that's a huge expense, if you will. Some of these, some of these reels that I've seen and shorts about these inspections, where the inspector comes in and says, "I'm sorry, but this I cannot certify this house to be sold. I cannot. The bank won't accept this. The permitting agency won't allow occupancy, whatever it may be." And when they go in there and they realize that they need to make some changes or do some things, it may cost a lot of money for that builder to change that, to fix it. I've seen some things where, like, there was huge portions of the roof, they needed to be completely redone. You know what that means? They have to take the roof off. And all of those shingles come off, and all of the decking comes off, and they redo the joists with new joists, and they do it the right way, and they do it the correct way, and then they got to put it back on, and they can't reuse the same plywood material, and they can't reuse the same shingles. And they have to spend all that expense, and you're talking about another, to them, probably with the cost of materials nowadays, there's another $15,000 to $30,000, depending on the size of the home. That's suffering a loss. The builder suffers a loss. And I guarantee you, whoever's in charge of that crew is probably going to be reprimanded or fired. And rightfully so. If you're a small business individual that owns a small business or run a small business, you realize $15,000 to $30,000 may mean whether or not you make payroll. That's a scary thing to think about. But as he says here in verse 15, he shall suffer loss. Now praise the Lord, as it says there, he is saved. But that fire really showed how bad things were. What type of quality was behind it? Not necessarily the quantity, but the quality of the work. And that is what is being manifest, what is being declared, what is being revealed, and what is being tried. I want you to go over let's go over to Proverbs chapter 25. You know, one of the things that I always think about over there in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 12, 6, where it talks about the word of the Lord in a furnace of silver, furnace of earth, it's going through that process. And again, some of the things that it's intended to do is to test it, to try it, and that is something that the Word of God is very clearly been done. It's been tested, it's been tried, it's been proven. You think about what was said over there to, I always get them mixed up, whether it's Belteshazzar or Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the king. Belteshazzar was Daniel, right? Or vice versa. I have no idea. Yeah, one of those guys, King Nebuchadnezzar's, lineage, when he saw the handwriting on the wall, it said that you have been weighed, you've been measured, you've been found wanting. And I dare say that is a constant, continual process. As the Lord is weighing and measuring and trying to see exactly what sort individual is doing, it's not just the believers. It's not just the body of Christ. Israel will also be tried and purged. The kingdoms of this world are tried and purged. Babylon was, because of their leader. We find in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4, it says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. That finer, again, is somebody that is a refining process. You want to refine the gold. You want to refine the silver. And it gets it more and more fine. That word fine has a very different connotation than kind of what we use it for today. It is a metallurgical type word that is intended to purify things, or again, to make it better than what it was. And this is something that, again, what we find is that's what the fire does. It's supposed to come forth finer. It's supposed to be better. It's supposed to be this way. And I dare say that when we start looking at these verses, I want us to keep in mind that, as I said, there, you know, kind of, again, using, it might be a poor analogy, but bear with me. Yes, there's the final, you know, occupancy inspection, the final inspection for the realtor or the bank or whatever it may be, the purchaser, the whoever's going to wind up taking the home. But in the process, there's a bunch of little things that go along the way that are to be examined. And before we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we need to do that. And you know what it requires? It requires fire. It requires fire to make it manifest, declare it, and to reveal, and to try it. And here he's saying very clearly in this proverb, this is, the, you know, the concept is, and again, he is actually talking about some kings here in this passage. And again, he is writing it to a future king. The end result is things are going to be examined. And that fire is to get rid of the dross. There's only one way you get rid of dross. You heat that thing till it becomes liquid, and then you scrape off the bad stuff. And what results is something that is, as it says here, a vessel for the finer. Meaning, and again, that finer, what he does is he takes that, and he takes that refined material, and then he makes a vessel to be used. Are we not all vessels? Do we not all have the same purpose? What is poured into us is to be poured out. That's what this vessel is. This vessel for the finer is for it to be used for the Lord. That means, you know, with silver here, as we've been talking about, we have to examine our words. We have to examine them and see exactly what are we doing with the salvation that the Lord gave us. Is it something that the Lord's going to use? What is that He's going to make? We've got to get that dross out. Go over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, is it warm in here? Or is it just me? It's just me? I don't know why it is. I'm like, it's hot up here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7 here, let's back up to verse 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith needs to be tried. It has to be tested. Abraham comes to mind. The friend of God, and God said, well, I want to see exactly what your faith is. Is it truly something that is, you know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? I mean, he hoped for a nation in his son Isaac, even though he knew he would never see it. But he believed God at his word, and he diligently obeyed. That is definitely something that when we look at, we realize that's a test. That's a trial. That's something that needs to be examined. Take a look at chapter 4 of the same book, 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I dare say that that's a good verse to have always in the back of your mind when you start going through something. Don't think it too strange. But I'll tell you this, those things that you go through, they're going to be fiery trials again to see what it is that you truly love. What it is that your faith is in. Where's your confidence? Where's your trust? Where's your peace? Where's your hope? Where's your joy? Where are all those things founded? Are they founded in something that's wood, hay, and stubble, or are they founded in something that is much more precious? Much more precious. Go over to Isaiah. And I just want to make a note about this really quickly. Isaiah chapter 1. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to just point this out, that the Lord uses these type of things to bring out the better in people. I mean, we just saw some things over there, and we know that, obviously Solomon is talking to his soon-to-be son, or excuse me, soon-to-be king's son, and we know that Peter is specifically talking to Jewish believers. So we can kind of understand some of those, the if you will, the context of what they're saying. But one thing that we find in Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 22 is this. It says, "The silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water." And what is this? What is he talking about? He's talking about the heart of Israel. He's talking about the heart of Israel. He's saying the stuff that they have right now isn't what it needs to be. It's contaminated. It's filled with impurities. It's filled with stuff that needs to come out so that it can be used correctly. I'll give you an example. Many of you may remember this. A while back, the company Samsung made a whole bunch of smartphones called the Note 7. The Note 7 is completely banned from ever being sold. You cannot have one. If Samsung finds one, they destroy it immediately because they're fire hazards, is what they claim. It goes back, again, as we were talking about, John, earlier, batteries. there was a problem with the batteries, and the batteries that Samsung had made were made in a factory in China, and the problem is with lithium, you need to have that very, very pure. Because the smallest impurities that are in there can ignite the fire, and that's what was causing those things to explode, cause harm, damage homes, and so on and so forth. They were deadly. They bought them all back up, they took them all, and they ran over them in a show in front of Samsung headquarters with a bulldozer, crushing them all to say, they're bad. And everybody that worked on it was fired. I'm like, well, that's a little excessive, but okay. It's not necessarily their fault, but something, their mentality was somewhere along the line, somebody should have asked some questions. Somebody should have done some more testing before these made it to the market. Nobody knew which batteries were affected, so they had to take the whole lot of them and destroy them all. the end result when we think about that is when we sit here and think about Israel, where he says, thy silver has become dross, it's a contaminated metal. It's not going to be used as a good vessel. It's not going to be able to do what it's supposed to do. When there's dross and there's impurities in the metals that are being used, it can form cracks. It can form things where there's lack of adhesion with metal molecules. Things delaminate. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that can happen. And it can become very hazardous to use depending on the vessel and what that silver is being used for. It can break apart. It can hurt. It can do all sorts of things. But the end result is that this is the way a nation of Israel has become. In verse 20, or chapter 27 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 27, in verse 9, chapter 27 in verse 9, it says, by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this and all the fruit to take away his sin, when he shall maketh all stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Well, what is he talking about here? He's talking about purging Israel. Purging Israel. And to get to the good stuff, the bad stuff's got to come out. To get to the good stuff, the bad stuff's got to come out. And he's got to get rid of it. He's like, Jacob's got to be purged. He's got to be purged of this iniquity. Well, how are we going to go about doing it? Go over to the book of Malachi, where we've been on Sunday mornings. The book of Malachi in chapter 3, as I said on Sunday, the first part of it describes, you know, the Lord coming and what the Lord's going to do. And we find in this passage, talking to Israel, what's going to happen. In verse 2, it says, but who may abide the day of his coming? Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purge the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He's going to purge them. That's the whole purpose behind the tribulation period. People are sitting there thinking the tribulation period is for the body of Christ. People think it's for the world itself. The main purpose behind the tribulation period is, let's get Israel prepared for her king. That's why it's called not only the Great Tribulation, but it's called a time of Rachel's sorrow and Jacob's trouble. It's meant for them. And they are going to be the most persecuted people on the face of the earth. It's going to be worse than it is now. It's going to be far worse than it is now. Turn over to the book of Zechariah. Just one book back. Zechariah chapter 13. And I want to point this out. Zechariah chapter 13. Here he is talking about, in verse 7, he's talking about Israel again. He says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Two-thirds, gone. The remnant. And then the remnant to make sure it is what it's supposed to be, is going to be tried. Is going to be tried. You know, when you try gold and you try silver, what you're doing is you're putting it in there, getting it hot enough to see if there's anything in there that is wrong and incorrect. There may not be. But the idea is that the Lord needs to purge, then he's going to go through this process to make sure that those people are truly his people. That's a terrifying thing to even think about when we start thinking about that with Israel. Go over to the book of Job. When we start talking about things that are tried, Job has a great statement in chapter 23. And he makes this statement because he knows that the Lord knows what's going on inside Job. He knows that the Lord knows exactly what Job has done and what he has purposed and what he has intended. He knows that the Lord knows him. And in verse 10, here it says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knew that he was going to, as he said, stand in his integrity because he knew he hadn't done anything. And there's obviously, you know, a little bit of that self-justification that we've talked about before. But he knew that he would be able to stand and stand for, if you will, trial for that. See what it's going to come, what's going to come forth. And he knew that what was going to come forth wasn't going to be gold. It wasn't going to be the tin that needed to be purged out, as other passages say. He knew that what he was doing was all for the glory of God. And when we think about that for a moment, I, and I'm not saying we need to do this in a form of saying that we're, you know, we know 100% that we're doing everything right or wrong. I'm saying this to the point of self-examination. If the Lord was to examine our works right now of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, you know, I have to ask myself the question, how big is the bonfire going to be? And how many firemen do we have? What's the perimeter, you know? We need to examine those things. And I will tell you this, when you begin to realize that that is one of the key important parts of temptations and trials and afflictions and patience and waiting in your Christian life, you begin to realize, just like Paul did, I will glory in my infirmities. Because he knew in the end that what was going to happen, that God was going to get the glory, that it was for him. When we start thinking about that, I mean, that really causes us to step back a moment and say, hey, before I get to the judgment seat of Christ, maybe I need to go through some stuff. When we get comfortable, we get lazy. When we get comfortable, it really is all about us. One of the things that I really used to enjoy, and I don't have carbonated beverages much or at all anymore because of other things. But I used to enjoy, there was a bottling company called Stewart's. No relation. But man, they made a key lime soda. It was so good. You know, a hot summer day, and you sit back, and you didn't want to be bothered. Oh. It was all about me. It's my time. Leave me alone. But I'll tell you this, when we start thinking about that, we need to realize that when we start getting a little too comfortable and we're not circumspect, we allow something to come in and possibly pollute or corrupt what it is we're doing for God. And we have to constantly go through that inspection process, that examination process, and if you will, desire to be tried. Now look, I know that that's not something that somebody sits down and prays to God, oh, hey, Lord, I just try me today. I just really want you to give me a good trial today. No, we're generally praying for, Lord, please let it be a peaceful day. Lord, please help me control my anger. Lord, please help me to not call people dullards. You know, whatever it may be, that's just not the type of prayer that we ask. But the idea is that we should have a desire that when those things come, that we say, all right, Lord, let's do this. Let's examine it. Search me and try me. Know me. Find any hidden sin in my life, anything that is not aligned with your will from your word. I need that, Lord. I need to find those things. Turn over to Psalm chapter 66. Psalm chapter 66. Here's a psalm that is being sung, talking about the Lord and His glory and who He is, and he's talking about men in general, and we find that where he throughout this passage, and one of the things that we find is in verse 8 where he says, "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Sometimes we need to see the proof of what is there. One of the things that I hated about geometry was the proofs. How many of you remember that? How many of you are having flashbacks to those and like trauma? And I hated those things. I'm like, well, I know it's true. Why do I have to prove it? And I'll tell you this, it's good to do that. It's good to show your work. It's good to show those things. And there's a reason behind all of that. And I do believe that there is very much a spiritual connotation connected with that. But I'll tell you this, the Lord wants to see the proof of it. He knows the proof of it, but He wants to show you what the proof is. So when He's proving, He's not proving anything to Himself. He's proving it to you, to me. Because again, as I said, our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, right? Sometimes we get caught up with the wrong thing and the wrong idea and the wrong mentality and the wrong attitude and the wrong whatever. And the Lord wants to show us and say, hey, I want to put you through some trial. I want to prove to you what it is that you've got. And sometimes it is proof to show that there's something wrong that you need to get taken care of. And sometimes it's just proving you're on the right track. Yeah. Affirmation. Affirmation. It's not always corrective. It's to show what it is that's at the heart of everything. Go over to Revelation. The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 18, this is the one that they kind of take out of context. about that nakedness part that I was referencing. But in 18, verse 18, it says, I counsel thee to buy me of gold tried in the fire. Now, again, this isn't, the Lord isn't giving investment tips here. He's not saying invest in gold because, you know, gold's whatever percentage now or however high it is and blah. No, he's talking about gold tried in the fire, but it is of the Lord's. What is glorious? That thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And here he is, and he's saying very, very specifically to this church of Laodicea, he's saying, look, I want you to do something. I want you to I want you to stop thinking about yourself, and I want you to start thinking about what it is you're doing and who you're doing it for. Where did you get your goods from? Where did you buy it? You say you're rich and you have increased with goods and you have need of nothing, but then he says you're poor, naked, and blind, and, you know, and kind of describes a bit of a wretched, you know, if you will, situation, miserable, as he says there. And why is it? Because they're deceiving themselves. They bought the wrong thing. They bought the wrong thing. You ever do that? You ever try to go to a place, go to a store or something, you buy the wrong thing, and you're like, I'm going to make it work. And it doesn't work. And then you got to go back and buy the right thing. But you can't return the other thing because that thing is now used up. So, you know, got to go get the right thing. Well, he's telling this church here, you need to get the right thing. You need to get the right thing. Are you truly invested in God's glory? Are you truly invested into giving Him the honor and the praise for everything? Go over to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to take a look at two more verses really quickly. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 tells us how we can do part of that, if you will, inspection process. And it says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Those two things, mercy and truth, purges iniquity. Now, there's obviously a lot of connotation to Jesus Christ's salvation all in that first phrase right there. But I will tell you this, it's also very much the Word of God, who, that's Jesus Christ. He is full of mercy. He is full of truth. He is truth. His Word is truth. The only way you're going to find out about how merciful God is in the Word of God. And I'll tell you that, knowing how merciful God is should not lead you into more sin. It should lead you to be very repentant. It should lead to conviction. You got to purge that stuff out. I want you to turn to the last verse over in 2 Timothy. And we'll close with this. 2 Timothy, and we're going to take a look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we were talking about vessels earlier, it says in this, in verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. I think we can figure out which ones are good and which ones are bad. Things that are wood and earth, I mean, that's really pointing to man. That's really pointing to man. Because what are we made out of? Dirt. Earth. Talked about our trees, wood, dead wood. You know, or dead trees, which is, you know, what wood is. Gold and silver. Those are all the things that speak about the Lord. In verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what is that? The wood, the earth, the dishonor. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the whole purpose behind what the Lord is doing here. And again, it's not to have us shaking and quaking in our boots about the judgment seat of Christ, but it's there to give us that pause, that circumspect thought of, why am I doing this? Who am I doing it for? Am I doing it the right way? Am I doing it with the right heart attitude? What's my disposition? And it causes us to pause for a moment and really truly examine. And before we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I believe it's important that we do go through those little steps and start asking about that. When you receive materials at whatever job site or whatever you work at, I'll tell you this, one of the things that you do is we open up the case, you start taking a look at it, you look at what's inside that box to make sure it's exactly what you ordered. Because if it's not, you got to take it back. And I've seen people, when they get their lumber orders and they get these pieces of wood and some of it is twisted, I mean, it looks like a roller coaster. And they're like, I can't use that to build a home. And if a bunch of it's that way, they take the wood and they say, I'm not paying for these. Go bring me some new. You'd examine. You'd purge out the stuff that wasn't right. So it would be good to use. And that's what we need to do. We need to examine ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. We need to ask, okay, why am I doing this? Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for the Lord? Am I doing it with the right desire? Am I doing it with the right attitude? Am I saying it the right way? Am I doing it with charity? I need to make sure that I'm examining all of that. One of the things that Paul talks about is to be careful that we don't become a stumbling block to another believer. And we have to be careful. It means, yeah, we may have liberty to do something, but we have to examine what's going to be the effect on someone else. And there's the precious stones. We've got to kind of keep those things in mind. So hopefully this series is kind of giving you some things to meditate and to kind of think about when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ and cause us to reflect on what we do on a day-to-day basis. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for just the blessing of being able to be here tonight. And I thank you again, Lord, for those that are here. Pray you take us home safely tonight, that we'd be back here again on Sunday. Again, to worship, to learn from you, and have fellowship together. And all these things I ask in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.